Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Bible Study Series. I want to say thank you for joining me. Tonight, we have a very good lesson. Tonight, it's why we don't give up, you know, and why we shouldn't give up. I know it's hard, you know, to live the Christian life, but we're going to find out tonight why we shouldn't give up, and we're going to learn Paul's counsel to all of us, and why we shouldn't give up and why we should continue to keep moving forward. So before we begin, I'd like to pray. Father God, we come before you this evening and ask that you guide us tonight as we, you know, take this time out to learn and to, you know, have this opportunity to take part and learn your gospel, and to be able to share it with others and allow it to grow within our hearts, Lord. I want to thank you so much for those who are listening, you know, to bless them and their families. And we just thank you for the opportunity, once again, to be able to learn your gospel, and that we can apply it, you know, in our everyday lives, and that it reflects that of you. And I want to just say thank you, Father, once again, for the many blessings that you have given and for the many blessings that are to come. I want to say thank you, Father, so much. Thank you. Just for, you know, being, just for allowing us to know you. And I just want to say thank you, Father. In your Son's Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going to begin with why we don't give up. I know, like I said, I know it's hard to live the Christian life, but, you know, the counsel that we're going to have tonight is very good. So the first thing we're going to be looking at, the first book of the Bible, is going to come from, you know, 1 Corinthians. And, you know, week two, we talked about the race. Well, this week we're going to learn about, you know, continuing to run that race, and to, you know, at the end of that race, if we keep, you know, going forward and, you know, keep ourselves disciplined, that at the end of that race, we can be sure that we are going to be rewarded at the very end of that race. So the first book I'd like to read from is 1 Corinthians, and that's going to be chapter 9, verses 24. 27. So I'm going to, it says, reading from 24 through 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 reads, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that would not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Isn't that amazing? And to go further, let's look at, we're going to look more into more meaning into the scripture. So winning a race requires purpose and discipline, but Paul uses this illustration. He brings this to us to explain that, you know, living a Christian life takes hard work, self, you know, denial, and grueling preparation, you know, but as Christians, we are running toward our heavenly reward. So the, you know, the essential disciplines of prayer, Bible study, and worship equips us to run with vigor and stamina. So, you know, don't merely observe from the grandstand. Don't just turn out to jog a couple of taps, you know, each morning. Train diligently. Your spiritual progress depends upon it. So I like that, advice, or more meaning of what Paul, wants us, encourages us to do. He says that, living a Christian life is not going to be easy, but we must not give up. We've got to continue through all the, difficulties and the struggles that we may have. We continue to go forward. And it's so wonderful that we have the gospel to encourage us and to give us that added strength that we may need during those times. You know, we can depend on his word to carry us through. So to further, looking into why we don't give up is, we don't want to become weary, in doing good, and being good to everyone and helping us to do that. We're going to look now into Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 10. We're going to look at that. So Galatians chapter, Galatians 6, and I said 7 through 10, Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Okay, and it reads, chapter 6, 7 through 10, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And to look more into the meaning of the scripture, we are going to look at, So it will certainly be a surprise if you planted corn and, pumpkins came up. It's a natural law to reap what we sow. It's in, it's true in other areas too. If you gossip about your friends, you will lose that friendship. Every action has results. If you plant to please your own desires, you'll reap a crop of sorrow and evil. If you plant to please God, you'll reap joy and everlasting life. What kind of seeds are you sowing? Isn't that amazing? That's something to take heed to. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So be careful of the seeds that you're sowing. You want to sow good seeds, So that's a wonderful message there. And to take us further, sow to please the Spirit. And after doing so, you will reap eternal life. And to look further, I love this one. Let's take a look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. We're going to look at Ephesians 6. 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I love this one. And 10 reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In the addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And that again is Ephesians 6, 7, let's see, 7 through 10 through 20, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, the armor of God. So put on the full armor of God. That's how we're going to get through it, by putting on the full armor of God. Use the pieces of God's armor to resist the enemy. Forget the past. Remember to forget the past, no matter where you were in it, who you knew in it, what you was doing in it. Forget the past. Forget it. The past. And you have to strain forward to what is ahead. You have to be ready to go with what is ahead of you, not what's behind you. That's gone. And taking your stand against the devil's scheme. That's what we got to do. It's not going to be easy, but we got to do it. As long as we have that full armor of God, we can get through it. We have to, you know, get through it, and we will. We will. So with saying that, we're going to also press on toward the day when you will be all God wants you to be. You know, so we're going to, that was Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Let's see, let's look a little bit more into that meaning of that scripture. Let's look more into it. I know you guys are ready. So with learning that, let's see. So, let's see. Let's see. So in the Christian life, we battle against rulers and authorities, the powerful evil forces of fallen angels headed by Satan, who is a vicious fighter. You know, and you can also see 1 Peter 5. Let's see. 1 Peter 5 and 8. To withstand their attacks, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. Paul is not only given, you know, this counsel to the church and the body of Christ, but to all individuals within the church. The whole body needs to be armed as you do battle against the powers of this dark world. Fight in the strength of the church, whose power comes from the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. So we have to put on that full armor, the full armor, you know, of God. So let's look into Philippians chapter 3. Let's see. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14. In chapter 3, 12, 14 reads, let's see, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So I like that. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So you know that reward has got to be good. You know, he's telling us to keep going ahead, to keep going forward, to keep pressing on. So that reward is great. It's greater than what's behind you. So, and to look more into meaning, let's see. We're not going to go into more into meaning. So Paul says that his goal is to know Christ, to be like Christ, and to be all Christ has in mind for him. This goal absorbs all Paul's energy. This is a helpful example for us. We should not let anything take our eyes off our goal, knowing Christ, with the single-mindedness of an athlete in training. We must lay aside everything harmful and forsake anything that may distract us from being effective Christians. What is, you know, holding you back? He asks. What is holding you back? So what is holding you back? You know, we have got to win the prize. That's our goal. You know, we've got to be strong and we've got to keep going forward. We can't let nothing distract us while we're in this race. Nothing. So, like he says, forget the past, strain forward what is ahead. Forget the past, strain toward what is ahead. And the heavenly prize for which God calls you heavenward. So that's our goal. That's what we're looking forward to. So with saying that, let's take a look at 2 Timothy. We're going to look at 2 Timothy. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this so much. You know, let's see, 2 Timothy, and that's going to be 2 verses 1 through 13. 2 Timothy 2 verses, let's see, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 13. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 13. So it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Summarily, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a sharp share of crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this." This is amazing. This is amazing. And we're going to continue with 8. "Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is my chain. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory." Here, let's see. "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Isn't that amazing? I like that. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So looking more into that and more into meaning, important to meaning. Let's take a look at. So, this is probably, let's see, an early Christian hymn. And we're talking about if we died with him, we also live with him. But God is faithful to his children, although we may suffer great hardships here. God promises that someday we will live eternally with him. What will, you know, this involve? It means behaviors will live. It means believers will live in Christ's kingdom, and then we will share in the administration of that kingdom. The truth comforted Paul as he went through suffering and death. Are you facing hardships? Don't turn away from God. He promised you a wonderful future with him. For more, if you wanted to read more about, you know, this promise that God made to us, we can look into Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. We can also look at chapter 19, 20 through 30. And he goes on to share Luke. We can look into Luke chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. We can also look into Romans chapter 5, verse 17, chapter 6, verses 8, and chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 and 17, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 58. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. As well as Revelation chapter 3, verses 21. And then you can also look at chapter 21, verses 1 through 22. And 22 and verse 21. And that's where we can also find promises that, you know, he promises you a wonderful future. We can look at those verses right there and see that there. So that is why, you know, we don't give up. That is why we don't give up. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy race, but we have to keep going forward. We have to keep going forward. It's going to be hardships because I get hardships after hardships, obstacles after obstacles. But you got to remember, at the end of the race, we will have victory. We will get that reward, you know. So that's what you look forward to. And don't get distracted. I know you can get distracted by the things that you're going through in life, but his gospel promises us, you know, what we can look forward to if we continue to stay focused, stay disciplined, and train ourselves, you know, pray, Bible study, and even worship, you know, keep going, you know. So I want to thank you guys. This will bring us to the end of this lesson. I'm not quite sure what lesson is next. It's going to be a surprise, but I can say that I'm just, you know, amazed at the things that I'm learning, and, you know, just to know that, you know, to know the advice, the counsel that Paul gives, it allows me to look ahead. It allows me to, even when I want to give up, you know, his counsel, you know, tells me to go forward. And knowing that, I know that in the end, it won't be this way. It won't be this hard. So, again, I want to thank you guys so much for joining me. And if you haven't, you know, listen to week one Bible study, go back and listen to week one, week two. And I will be back again with week four. I'll do week four in another week and a half. I'll do week four, but we're going to continue. I'm going to continue press forward. So I hope this helps someone, and I hope this blessed someone. And with saying that, I want to say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen, and have a good night.